podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Fire for them, fire for them. If you're looking for that 35 bag umbrella and all damn thing there, keep it locked with this Dissonomics podcast.
Yo, what's going on, beautiful people? You're now locked in to another episode of the hashtag Dissonomics podcast. I hope you had a great week so far. The weather's getting better, so we thank God for that. As usual, we'd like to start off with an episode shout out to the previous week's one, which was with regards to interest rates. How interest rates are ruining our lives, whether it be making your credit card loans more expensive, your car loans more expensive, the impact it has on UK businesses, the impact it has on savers, and how especially it's impacting the housing market, from how rental prices are going up, mortgages are going up, house prices are slowing down, it's harder to sell a house, it's hard to get out a mortgage at an affordable rate, all that good stuff, or bad stuff. Make sure you check out the previous week's episode. But this week, we're only speaking on a more serious matter, although that is a very serious matter. Now we are finally here. We are finally at the point where the rest of the world has caught up. The political class, the media, some high net worth individuals, especially in the Western world, have now realized that Israel's barbaric assault in Gaza has gone too far. People like me knew that from October the 7th, because they started going far literally the very same day. Well, the next day, sorry, October 8th, should I say, where hundreds of people were killed. And it's been happening virtually every single day up until now, which we're now 6 months to the date of the October 7th attack in Israel on the border. So what we're going to talk about this week, we're going to speak of the tragic incident where the World Central Kitchen, 7 aid workers were brutally killed by Israelis who mistakenly, according to them, fired on the aid workers. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. Third time lucky, or unlucky, as we should say. We're going to discuss what happened, how it happened, what I personally think and what many in the world think, and what impact is this going to have going forward. That will all come up shortly after the break.
Hi, it's MXM, and listen to the Dissonomics podcast.
So what happened? Three British men were part of the 7 tragic aid workers killed in Gaza, I believe, earlier this week. John Chapman, James Kirby, and James Henderson were 3 of 7 aid workers from the World Central Kitchen, and they were killed by Israeli airstrikes earlier last week. The strikes happened late at night after they finished unloading some aid at a warehouse, and they were on their way to another location. And unfortunately, an IDF drone killed all 7 members of staff. So these included Melbourne-born Lazami Zomi Frankon. She lost her life in attack. Palestinian national Safidin Assam Avad Abuta. Damian Sobol from Poland. And dual US and Canadian citizen Jacob Flickinger. All 3 of the British gentlemen, they were part of like the security team, right? So they have military background. So they are actually the country's veterans, and they were helping, they were working as volunteers, helping these aid workers in Gaza. This is not unusual. Aid is quite a dangerous prospect because obviously you've got starving people, right? So you're going to have to make sure that there's some law and order and some protection for these deliveries of aid. These gentlemen were accompanying the load depot from, I think, where did the load come from? The aid came from, let's start this one again. So these gentlemen were assisting via security, the aid being dropped in Gaza. The aid came from Cyprus, and unfortunately, because of this incident, ships coming from Cyprus bringing in massive amounts of aid have now turned back, and the WCK have now suspended their activities in Gaza because there's no guarantee of the safety of their workers. It's interesting because I believe one of the gentlemen was actually due to leave Gaza that same day. So it's a proper tragic loss for his family and, of course, for the country. Israel hit aid workers 3 times, right? And there was a distance between each strike. We're going to get into that. Well, we might as well get into it now. So this is what happened. So via Haaretz newspaper, instantly we found out what happened from Israeli intelligence sources. for the Haaretz newspaper, right? So this is what happened. They hit one convoy of car. There were some survivors. They kind of scrambled, they survived, and they went to another car that was a bit further behind. So then the drone hit again. And whoever survived the last hit went to the third convoy, where the drone hit for the third time, therefore eliminating all survivors. The IDF conducted an investigation. Obviously, they were under immense pressure worldwide. Even though they've killed over 180 workers already, damn near over 60, so I'm just freestyling the numbers from what I last remember. I'll put the corrections on the YouTube. Over 60 journalists, 13,000 kids, 33,000 civilians in general, killing doctors, shooting at nurses, shooting children. This isn't a shock, but it's still insane. But this time, this is an investigation that's happened quickly, because I remember they told us they're going to investigate the nun that got hit by a sniper. I ain't heard from the investigation since. They were going to investigate a strike on a British, on a British entity where doctors were there. Luckily, all four doctors survived. They weren't injured. But that building was on sand, so there was no tunnels underneath. The IDF was informed by the British Defence Ministry ahead of time. These are coordinates. Boom, boom, boom. They said, oh yeah, we're going to hit you. And guess what? They got hit. So the IDF did conduct an investigation after 72 hours, and here's the interim findings. They said that they committed a mistake. They said the first strike was based on false identity, and the second or third strike were grave mistakes. Now, to me, a grave mistake is like what happened today, when Quantzar went for a back pass thinking, oh, okay, I'm going to give it to my defender. But no, he gave it to Bruno Fernandes, who scored into open net brilliantly from a long distance. A grave mistake is going to the airport and you forgot your passport. That's the only way I want to be hearing about grave mistakes. Not you actually deliberately shooting a group of people three times over. And when we go through this, you see that the intelligence they had should have never led them to shooting these people. They conclude that the first strike were cases of false identity. The IDF investigation stated that this should not have happened. The strike should have not have occurred. The strike on the aid workers was a grave mistake and signals huge failures. No, sorry, they use serious failures. I use huge. Serious failures due to mistaken identity and making them attack when this doesn't follow the country's procedures. The IDF also stated that two senior officers, including a colonel and a major, have been fired, and then other three have been reprimanded due to the rules of engagement breaches. Now, this is the first time I've heard of this level of accountability in terms of individuals being punished, where we have seen on numerous occasions, we had the three Israeli innocent civilians that managed to escape. My guess is that the Israelis were closing in, the Hamas militants probably thought, let's leave these civilians, they'll be safe with the army, boom, boom, boom. They came out, they had no clothes, so you can't say they're hiding a gun or a bomb, waving white flags, speaking in Hebrew. All three were mercilessly killed. I've seen videos of them shoot at innocent people. Relentlessly. But this is the first time we've seen some form of accountability, and we're going to talk about why that is later. But anyway, the IDF stated that the strikes on the three vehicles were carried out in a serious violation of their commands. So there was a series of briefings, I believe this was on Thursday, by the Ministry of Defense in Tel Aviv, where they were, of course, speaking to journalists and showing their findings. They showed maps, they showed drone footage, albeit blurry and not, you can see it's clearly edited and certain bits are missing, which I'll get into later. The Israeli ministry informed ambassadors and journalists, and the head chef, the founder of the World Central Kitchen, Jose Andres. Now, Jose Andres, who was previously, October 16th, he was speaking quite favorably for what Israel was doing, even though it was very obvious they were committing grave war crimes, killing people. But now, obviously, it's happened to his own people, and he's seen it. He said, "Brum," he was very stern. He said, "Listen, they deliberately killed these people. They targeted them, and they killed them." He was livid. He was flipping livid. And this is somebody who has actually worked with the Israeli military. So this is an organization they know, organization they trust. Even the latest bum-ass Israeli speaker, spokesperson for the UK, I think his name is it David Mercer? I can't remember his first name, but Mr. Mercer, who was formerly director of Labour Friends of Israel, which is very, very inappropriate, but that's a story for another day. He described World Central Kitchen as one of the good guys. So this was a big effort by the IDF. Now, the idea is that they misidentified the vehicle. And they misidentified them for having Hamas operatives inside of them, which led to the strike, of course, which killed 7 people. The soldiers believed that they were carrying out a strike on a group of Hamas operatives, so they believed this was the right thing to do. So they saw gunmen, and they believed the gunmen were inside the car. But this, according to the Israeli Defense Force, was an operational misjudgment and a failure in terms of the classification of the situation. And this was said by Major General Ha'ivan. The IDF, of course, I'm sure they must have interviewed people, but they said that they examined radio communications and they assessed the state of mind of the soldiers at that time. And they said that they were striking cars they believe were seized by Hamas. That was their belief at the time. So I was watching Sky News the other day, and one of the correspondents who was there to witness the video, he said that the video was clearly edited, so we didn't see everything. He said that the drone footage was quite blurry. So again, we don't know if... Anyway, let me not say too much. But what we didn't see, and I'm going to get into the timeline in a second, was we didn't see what happened when people got into the car that eventually was tracked by these Hermes drones and killed. We didn't get to see that. So the Wall Central Kitchen on Monday had a massive shipment carrying 300 tons of food, which came via sea, via Cyprus. So this was a big operation to get aid for the starving people in Gaza. I was reading that report, I'm not sure it was from UNICEF or food organization. They said that the average Gazan is currently having 240 calories a day. That's less than a croissant. 240 calories is less than a croissant. A 500 milliliter bottle of Mirinda is like 300 calories. This is what people are surviving on a day. And I'm watching the videos of when the aid drops and you see them fighting. And you don't blame them. I don't blame them for fighting one another. Because each gentleman that's fighting for aid, their wife, their children, their nephews, their nieces probably haven't eaten for days or eaten decently. So I've got to fight for, they're literally fighting for the survival of their family. Do you get what I'm saying? Though obviously, as I said before, WCK has suspended their shipments and this was very, very terrible. Now, what makes this egregious, right? It's because the WCK and a lot of aid agencies, they have to coordinate with the IDF, right? So they told them that they were there and they let them know where they're going and what routes they're taking. And as the IDF has already said, the route they were taking was a de-conflicted zone. And this is a particular road specified for aid. So they should know that these men were making this journey and they should have fired them. So to me that says they just fire them anyway. There's three options. They just fire them anyway because they're firing anything that moves and they just want there to be no aid in Gaza. And I think that's a very plausible one. Number two, they just indiscriminately firing. They had an inkling that it could potentially be Hamas, so effort will fire it anyway. And thirdly, another outcome is it is just a complete top to bottom, full on error, and there was not adequate communication from whoever was coordinated with the WCK to people on the ground operating the drones, so on and so forth. Either way, it is an unforgivable error because this is what's been happening nonstop. We've over 100 aid workers have been killed already. Loads of you, dozens of you, of UN staff have been killed. French organizations have been killed. Completely, completely, completely tragic. So let's go through the timeline of the events as detailed by the IDF. And then after that, I'll start to give my analysis and then the response to this. At 10 p.m., eight aid lorries drive southern, south down the coast of Gaza to the pier constructed by the World Central Kitchen to a warehouse being used by the charity. So obviously this warehouse is going to store lots of the aid. 10:28, a drone operator spots an armed person on top of the lorries. He sees them open fire. However, it seemed to keep the crowd back. Now, could this be somebody from Hamas? I'm sure Hamas militants or maybe Gaza police force are underground with... Because they still, someone has to administer the aid, right? So it could be them, or it could be one of the security guards riding with the WCK. Kogat is notified by the IDF that... Kogat is notified the IDF and calls are attempted to the WCK staff to check in with them on the ground. They fail to get hold of them. They try to hit up the operations center in Europe. Again, they fail to get hold of them. Right? Sometime between 10:28 and 10:47, the convoy arrives at the warehouse. At 10:46, a second gunman joins the first, allegedly, at which the IDF cell assumes that them to be Hamas. So they don't know who these people are. They haven't got ID, but they're just assuming gun must be Hamas, right? Which isn't a terrible assumption to make, in my opinion. However, the drone was ordered not to strike because of the humanitarian mission. Because these potential Hamas operatives are around humanitarian workers and aid, they were ordered not to strike. Now, what's interesting is that this could have just been police and would have struck them anyway, and then they would probably say, oh, this is Hamas police, but whatever. Now, here's a quote. So in the operator's eyes, there are armed guys next to a convoy, but he has an order. You don't fire on an armed men when they're next to an aid convoy, said by the IDF. At 10:55, four vehicles leave the warehouse. By now, there are two Hermes 450 armed drones monitoring the activity. So now, it's now 5 minutes before 11, two convoys have left the facility and drones are watching them. However, one convoy has gone north and the other's gone the other direction. So, a drone monitors the arrival at a second hangar close by, at which point at least four people exit the car. They were deemed to be armed and members of Hamas. The surveillance footage watched by Sky News isn't conclusive, but they are carrying objects that could be interpreted as guns. The other three vehicles, which we know were carrying the seven aid workers, drove south after leaving the warehouse. So we've seen a group of people that could be having guns, but it's not exactly clear. And if the footage they're showing us is unedited, untampered with, if it's not clear, you shouldn't really be letting the thing go. But again, these weren't the people that they fired on. Because remember, the other people, the aid workers, went southwards, right? The drone operators believe that they saw an armed person getting into one of the cars and that the aid workers had stayed at the warehouse. So they thought the aid workers stayed at the warehouse and the armed person jumped to the cars. Now, I personally think that's cap. You have no reason to think that. You do not know. In their briefing, the IDF said, so we have for sure two people that were identified with guns. And now there was a question and people said, maybe this is also a gun. You know, they're vests and they're not sure. They're trying to find out whether there are more people carrying guns. At this point, this is a misclassification. They are a target in his eyes of the operator. Mistake. Obviously, it's dark. It's just before midnight. They can't be too sure. So the darkness somewhat can excuse them, because if you see the images, which I'm going to show on YouTube, it clearly states WCK on the convoy, right? But maybe they couldn't see from the dark. I don't know. This is a tragic mistake. And this shows, in my opinion, that they are shooting anything that moves. They're literally clapping at anything that moves. This might be Hamas operatives. It might be. You don't know if they're high level, mid level, no level. But the fact that there could potentially be aid workers there, because you literally are at a facility, you're still fine anyway. Reprehensible. Now, let's look at the reaction. The reaction, cataclysmic. Everyone's fuming. Because now, you've killed seven aid workers, right? Most of them foreigners. Brits, a Polish person, an Aussie, a Canadian American. And all of a sudden, we start to see the tide and energy change. amazing what death to white people does, right? Not to say I'm saying, disclaimer, if anyone tries to twist this, I'm not saying white people should die. This shouldn't have happened at all. I feel so sorry for the families of all of these people, all these brave people doing a great job of providing aid in Gaza, providing security for those providing aid in Gaza. Because it should have got to this point. The moment the first journalists, doctors, nurses, flipping aid workers been killed, the world should have been losing their marbles. This should have been prevented. Israel can't make this mistake again. We're going to get to this anyway, right? So Britain requested ambassadors to come to London. Oh yeah, fast. Oh yeah, whammy bye. You know what I'm saying? That means come here in Yoruba. Get your ass here right now. Do you get what I'm saying? David Cameron, our foreign secretary, who is not elected, but is now Lord Cameron, he spoke to his Israeli counterpart, Israel Katz, and requested an urgent explanation of the incident, right? Sunak called for a transparent investigation, and a Downing Street spokesperson said this. He said the Prime Minister was appalled by the killing of aid workers, including three British nationals, in the airstrike in Gaza, and demanded a thorough and transparent independent investigation into what happened, which I found funny. Man are asking the murderers to investigate themselves. Huh? Where do they do that? Why aren't man saying F all that, CNN, BBC, The Guardian, The Times, Der Spiegel, ABC, NBC, sorry, I'm sure there's other news networks all over the world. They are going to be put to Israel, IDF, you cannot follow them around, you cannot interfere with them, let them do their work. UN, you go and investigate what happened independently. Why are we getting the accused to, you know what I'm saying? Crazy. The spokesman also added, the Prime Minister said, too far many aid workers and ordinary civilians have lost their lives in Gaza, and the situation is getting increasingly intolerable. You think? The UK expects to see immediate action by Israel to end restrictions on humanitarian aid, deconflict with the UN and aid agencies, protect civilians and repair vital infrastructure like hospitals, water and networks. So now what we've seen is all of a sudden, oh my God, Israel has allowed the opening of 20 bakeries. Israel's allowed water to be turned on again. Wow. Israel has opened another crossing for aid to come in that has not been open since October the 7th. Swear down what a little bit of pressure does. Who could have thought it? Who could have thought? But no. Israel doing everything they can to let in aid. Everything they can is Hamas. It's Hamas that are stealing it. It's the UN that can't work quick enough. But all of a sudden, bakeries are open, water's open, new crossing is open. Fucking punks. Ridiculous. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's now speaking about stopping arms sales to Israel. And especially now that due to Alicia Kearns, the MP that works for the Foreign Office Committee, in a leaked audio was basically said the government's seen advice that Israel is breaking international humanitarian law, which means that we should not be supplying arms to them or sharing intelligence because that's a breach of international law. Now there's pressure from David Lammy, Keir Starmer, members of the Conservative Party to publish that advice, which should lead to the UK stop sending arms to Israel. Now, some people's clapback for this is that the UK don't sell that much arms to Israel, right? So UK arms exports to Israel are relatively small, according to UK government, amount for only $53 million, 42 million quid in 2022, right? In comparison to Germany, which is about 20-30%, and America is about 60%, it's a small number. But what it does do is, now you can't benefit off our intelligence, and now it's put pressure on Israel to change how they're behaving. Puts pressure on Germany and America to follow suit. Because it's looking booky. It sets a precedent, right? Poland have lost it. So Thursday saw Polish president denounce comments made by the Israeli ambassador, right? So the Israeli ambassador by the name for Poland, by the name of Takov Revny, pushed back at what he believes were attempts by the extreme right, extreme left, to kind of accuse Israel as murderers in the attack. He said on social media on Tuesday that anti-Semites will always remain anti-Semites, and Israel will remain a democratic Jewish state that fights for its right to exist, also for the good of the entire Western world. Are you crazy? Multiple anti-Semitism because people are livid that you lot have just killed one of our own. Are you crazy? You just killed an innocent person. You talk about anti-Semitism. You can't keep using it as a Yu-Gi-Oh card every time. We are allowed to criticize you, your wrongdoings. So Poland President Andrzej Duda called the comment outrageous and described the ambassador as the biggest problem for the state of Israel and Poland's relations. Now, we're now seeing in HD a clear, and I don't, people know me, you don't really hear me when you speak on my white supremacy. I see people speaking it all the time on Twitter since 2015. I don't throw that term around loosely. But I believe the reaction to the conflict in Ukraine with Russia, where there's a legitimate issue there, Russia has an issue with NATO being close to their borders. This is clearly a NATO operation as time's gone on. We've now seen two years on. Both sides have army. Ukraine has an air force. Ukraine has tanks. Ukraine has drones. Ukraine has bombs. Ukraine has billions of dollars of support from the Western world. They have troops. They're a Western country. Israel are currently fighting people with no navy because Gaza doesn't have control of the sea. No air force because Gaza doesn't have control of the air. They have no tanks. They have no anti-aircraft, anti-missile defense systems. All they have is mortar shells, rockets that get intercepted all the time, grenades, AK-47s, and RPGs. Oh, and homemade snipers. That's what they're fighting with. And 30,000 Palestinian lives. Oh yeah, we think it's bad, but Israel, they've got to defend themselves. Oh, Hamas this, Now a few foreign aid workers get killed. Seven foreign aid workers get killed. The whole world's changed. What do you know? It's outrageous. It's literally because they're not white. This could never happen if these were happening to Portuguese people, Spaniards, Italians, Germans, Brits, Irishmen, Dutchmen. Not a chance. Not a chance. More children will probably get killed in a week in Gaza than the whole of the Ukraine conflict. 13,000 plus children have died in Ukraine. I mean, in Gaza. I think last time I checked, it was like 500 in 2 years in Russia. In the Russian war, sorry, with Ukraine. It is insane. We literally just saw 2 weeks of Israel, who already flattened Ashifa. They got it back up and they've completely cataclysmically destroyed it. For 2 weeks, we've heard from every independent source, all the bodies around the world, they've been shooting at doctors. Doctors have been executed. If you see our Shifa hospital now, it's completely flattened. There's hundreds of bodies. It's a graveyard. Now, there was fighting in and around it with Hamas because Hamas are defending the hospital. You're going to kill innocent people. And that's what they did. There's Al Jazeera have posted visuals. UN, I think they've got access to it just this weekend and they're all posting visuals. You see Israeli bulldozers go over the bodies. So you're now seeing people's limbs everywhere. You're seeing people like taped together behind their back. You see the bodies of women and children. Now, what's interesting is developments today from like all the accounts that are like in the know when it comes to warfare, where, and let me get the tweet actually, because I believe the defense minister, Gallant, spoke today. I'm gonna get this now. Israel defense minister, Hamas is no longer a military organization in Gaza as a result of our intensive operations. They're now pulling out their troops from Khan Yunis, which is the area of southern Gaza. I think they're gonna have one brigade there left. I think what, to me, my initial assessment on this, pardon me, is twofold. After the incendiary attacks on those innocent people, they've been put under pressure from the global community, mainly United States, that this is over, this has gone too far. You've gone too far, right? And now they have to wrap up the war. This is the initial assessment. Just off, this is just my theory of what's happened right now, of what's going to happen right now, right? And now they have to put some spin, because they said all along, we're not leaving until Hamas is defeated. So now they're saying Hamas is militarily defeated. Not the allies, not the politically defeated, because obviously their leaders, Sinwar, Mohamed Diouf, all their men are still about. But they said they have no military ability in Gaza, because they have to leave a victory, because of as Israelis be like, and the world, wait, hold on. You killed 30,000 people, 13,000 kids, all these aid workers, all these doctors, all these journalists. You've completely erratic flattened Gaza. You've blown up universities, hospitals, bakeries, schools, mosques, all the homes, dug up roads, right? You've all, because you said you want to get rid of Hamas. You have also, the Israelis was also thinking, our hostages aren't here. You've completely eroded our favor with the global world. The world looks at us differently now. 60 years later, we're muddied. And you didn't even get the job done. You wanted to get rid of Hamas, completely destroy Hamas, take out their main dons, get the hostages back. You have failed on all three fronts. And my second view is, because Israel also attacked some key Iranian figures. So I'm gonna try to get their names because I can't remember off the top of my head because I wasn't gonna speak about this actually. But some key Iranian figures, they killed four of them in effectively what was effectively a diplomatic base, right? A consulate, right? In Damascus in Syria. And I think these people are very key in the axis of resistance. So the axis of resistance is Iran, the Houthis in Yemen, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and Hamas in Gaza. And obviously you've got people in Iraq and Syria as well. So I believe all of these gentlemen were going for a meeting with Iran, and all these people were key for all the activities in each part of the resistance. So they must have got great intelligence and said, listen, I know this is probably not diplomatic and probably not right, it's probably illegal, but we can get rid of all these men in one sweep. And that's what they did. So after clapping all these men in one sweep, Iran are now edgy. Okay, this is the second time you lot have done this. Yeah? This is like, you're moving mad, and Iran has said, we're gonna clap back. So now, are they now thinking, okay, cool, we need to pattern this? And some people are saying that, allegedly, Iran is speaking to America and say, listen, we'll let you know, we're gonna rise it, yeah? America's like, boy, just don't hit us, any of our stuff. We ain't enough to do with this. Which I don't think. I think America definitely helped provide intelligence, but it's probably an Israeli choice to do so anyway. And maybe a condition is that Iran are like, yo, unless you stop these men and what they're doing in Gaza, we're gonna let the thing go. Who knows? That's all, definitely a watch this space moment. I hope you've enjoyed the pod. Like, share, and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. If you listen to this on audio, thank you. Share, tell a friend to tell a friend. Until next week, peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.